This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, January 10th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, workers in a nail salon in Seattle protect themselves from fumes coming from polish remover. We'll also look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first a look at today's news. The state of Illinois is lending a hand to a number of communities impacted by flooding. Governor Blagojevich yesterday declared Iroquois and Livingston counties state disaster areas. In many of these communities, residents were forced out of their homes when the Iroquois River spilled its banks. About 200 were assisted by boats and Department of Natural Resources officers in towns like Milford, Watseka, and Woodland. The state also sent 10,000 sandbags to Mahomet, where the Sangamon River has threatened to flood. Meanwhile, Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels viewed the flooding along the Tippecanoe River from a helicopter Wednesday. Floodwaters there began to recede yesterday, although the National Weather Service estimates that it could be a couple of days before the Tippecanoe is back within its banks. The Illinois House yesterday approved two plans to pump hundreds of millions of dollars in aid to Chicago mass transit agencies. But last night, the state Senate took up a slightly different version of one of those proposals, only to watch it unexpectedly fall short by one vote. Top Senate Democrats blame the loss on a lack of Republican support, but say they plan to push for another vote today. Governor Rod Blagojevich says he supports a gas tax proposal, but has vowed to veto a sales tax measure. Many lawmakers say they won't back a final transit bill until a new state construction program is finalized. Lawmakers are trying to stave off fare increases, layoffs, and service cuts planned for January 20th. The outcome of last night's House and Senate votes on plans to fund Chicago mass transit depended a lot on downstate Democrats. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Nine downstate House Democrats who voted last November against a mass transit bill favored by the governor voted for it when it came up again last night. 10 of them voted yes on a second funding bill. Republican Chapin Rose of downstate Mahomet says downstate Democrats should have held firm for a bill that included funding for downstate roads and other capital projects.
The downstate Democrats who previously stood with us in the House to try to force a capital bill to address our own needs and infrastructure here in Dallas, Illinois, took a walk and basically threw in with the Chicago ward bosses.
Meanwhile, in the Senate, the majority of downstate Democrats voted against a mass transit funding bill that failed by one vote. That's according to Democratic Senator Mike Frericks of Champaign, who says his party's downstate Senate caucus is firm on the issue.
We came together as a downstate caucus and decided that our biggest issue facing downstaters was the need for capital construction on our roads, our schools, and universities. And we decided that we wanted to use this as leverage to get that.
Frerich says he expects increasing pressure from Senate Democratic leaders to vote for mass transit funding, but says he won't do it unless money for downstate roads is included. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
In East Central Illinois, Democrats Naomi Jacobson of Urbana and Bob Flyder of Decatur voted for a mass transit funding bill that they had opposed in November. A Sangamon County judge ruled yesterday that the Blagojevich administration must provide subpoenas it received from federal prosecutors to a Chicago-based government watchdog group. Prosecutors are investigating possible misconduct in the way the governor awards state jobs and contracts. The Better Government Association sued when Blagojevich's office denied a request for copies of the subpoenas under the Illinois Freedom of Information Act. Sangamon County Judge Patrick Kelly ruled Wednesday that the subpoenas must be released to the public, but he stayed his order to let the governor appeal, which Blagojevich lawyer Thomas Lonergan says is certain. Two Republican lawmakers have introduced a bill to help Illinois schools make up for lost income due to the governor's delay in signing an implementation bill for education funding. Governor Rod Blagojevich waited 2 months before acting on the bill that allows this year's education budget to be spent. Local school districts will get the money eventually, but they've lost the interest income they could have earned if they had received the funds on time. A bill filed in the Illinois House yesterday by suburban Chicago lawmaker Sid Mathias would allow districts to apply to the State Board of Education for reimbursement of interest income they would have earned. Chief co-sponsor Chapin Rose of Mahomet says districts all over the state would benefit.
You're talking about $575 million new dollars in K-12 that has not been received by our school districts, and half of the fiscal year is over with. So you know, what's the interest income that could otherwise be earned on banking half of $575 million? It's a lot of money.
Governor Blagojevich used his amendatory veto powers last week to make technical corrections to the implementation bill. The Illinois Senate accepted his changes yesterday, and the measure awaits a full House vote. A project to build the Champaign County Courthouse clock tower back to its original height is a step closer to reality. After committee approval last night, the full county board is set to vote in 2 weeks on the $6.8 million project. It also includes shoring up the Urbana Courthouse's masonry. Committee Chair Steve Beckett says much of the money is coming from a quarter-cent sales tax Champaign County residents passed 10 years ago to renovate and expand the courthouse. He contends that project came in under budget, but some restoration work is still needed.
We still had money left over, so we have $700,000 of those funds still left. Then you add to that the $855,000 that the Citizens Group has, and then you add to that $6.1 million in bonds that we, you know, when we sold the bonds last year. So we have more than $7.5 million for this project that are there, that's there available for our use.
The project's cost has received some criticism. One committee member voted against the proposal. Beckett says cost estimates for the clock tower restoration have risen because of new state construction standards. Bridgestone Firestone plans to increase production and add jobs at its off-road tire plant in Normal. Bridgestone says the move is the result of a $12 million investment at the Normal tire plant. Plant manager Greg Halford says that will include new equipment and operational costs. Halford says the company's first new piece of equipment will be a $4.8 million curing press that will double the production capacity of Bridgestone's giant loader tires. He says it should arrive in September and be operational by November. The investment will also result in 50 new jobs at the plant, which employs about 400. Halford says Bridgestone has already hired about 20 new employees and expects to hire another 30 this year. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Mosser. Anyone who's been in the same room as an open bottle of nail polish remover knows how strong it smells. Now imagine working in those fumes all day, every day. That's what it's like to work in a nail salon. There's growing concern that nail salon workers are being exposed to such high levels of these fumes that their health is at risk. Ann Dornfeld reports on a project in Seattle to teach nail technicians how to keep themselves safe at work.
Connie Fields is at North Bend Nails today to get her nails touched up with liquid acrylic. It's been her ritual every 2 or 3 weeks for the past 20 years.
You know, I work a lot with my hands, and when my nails are done, it makes me feel good. You know, it helps complete my dress, so I like nails.
Still, Fields has her misgivings about the safety of nail products.
I've had concern, you know, because years ago, whatever the chemical they were using at the time, some girls had an infection.
It's not just the customers who are at a risk. The people who work with these chemicals day in and day out are the most exposed. Often, they're Vietnamese immigrants. It doesn't take long to get trained to do nails, and you don't need to speak much English. But language barriers can keep Vietnamese nail salon workers from learning how to protect themselves from workplace chemicals. You've probably noticed this sounds less like a spa and more like an auto body shop. That's how it smells, too. Salon owner Helen Huang is combining chemicals to create liquid acrylic for Connie Fields' nails.
I use two products for this. One product is mixed with powder to make the powder supple so I can paint it on. And the other one is a polymer to finish it off.
The odor is industrial strength. And Kevin Burrell says that's no exaggeration.
The chemistry that's used in the salon for doing nail finishes, they're very similar to the chemicals that are used in auto manufacturing.
Burrell is the head of the Environmental Coalition of South Seattle. He says most nail technicians don't realize that they're doing a small-scale version of auto painting with the same kinds of chemicals and technique, a primer, a base coat, and a top coat. Common chemicals in nail polish include formaldehyde and toluene. At high doses, those can cause respiratory problems, including asthma, headaches, and even organ damage. Burrell says acrylic nails might be even more dangerous.
They're made of two chemicals, one of which has been banned at full strength in our state. You can't use methyl methacrylate in Washington State at 100% strength.
But Burrell says products with 99.9% methyl methacrylate are still on the market. That chemical has been limited or banned by at least 30 states. Studies on animals suggest inhaling too much of it might cause respiratory and organ damage. A recent University of Toronto study showed that a group of nail salon workers' children had signs of learning disabilities linked to solvent exposure. And some studies show a chemical in nail polish called dibutyl phthalate may stunt the fetal growth of male testes. Burrell says to limit exposure, nail salon workers need to use safe chemical handling practices. So his organization is working on an education campaign called Toxic Beauty. It's funded by the Environmental Protection Agency. The campaign sends a Vietnamese-speaking educator into salons to show owners and workers how to protect themselves. At North Bend Nails, owner Helen Huang welcomed the advice. She already had a ventilation system and air conditioning.
There's probably just a few places that have ventilation systems because they're costly. It takes money to buy them and to run them. I don't know for sure, but my customers say the air is much better here than other salons.
She says the educator showed her some other ways to limit chemical exposure.
Before, I threw everything away in just the trash can. They told me to put everything in trash bags and tie them before I throw them away. Another thing they recommended was to install vacuums in the manicure tables to suck up the dust and fumes. I'm planning to do that.
Ultimately, environmental justice activists want nail salon workers and customers to demand safer nail products. Phthalates, formaldehyde, and toluene have all been banned by the European Union in nail products. So far, only one major company, OPI, has agreed to change its U.S. formulations, too. The demand has to come from the ground up. That's because the U.S. government doesn't regulate cosmetics for safety. For the Environment Report, I'm Ann Dornfeld.
In the forecast for the region today, expect mostly cloudy skies, rain developing late this afternoon. The high temperature 46. Cloudy tonight, rain likely until midnight, the low temperature around 30. Mostly cloudy and mild tomorrow, the high around 40, with winds from the west at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tomorrow night, the low 28. For Saturday, mostly cloudy, some flurries are possible, the high 35. Mostly cloudy skies Saturday night, the low 25. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, January 10th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.